It's time to pick that lawn up by the bootstraps with a healthy dose of Rosie on the House. Get all the advice you could want from the Harper Nursery Boys by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
It's the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House with John J. Harper of Harper's Nurseries here in Scottsdale, and Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau talking Mediterranean diet. But we need to get back to David, whose question we just snuck in before the bottom of the hour break on chamelash. Mike, you can bring David back up. And John J., how can we help Mr. David?
Which side of the tree was not leafing out again? I'm sorry.
The north side.
The north side is not leafing out. That's interesting.
Not leafing out.
Usually the south or southwest sides of a tree are the most affected by the heat and the sun, because that's the hottest side, obviously. Is there any sign that the any coloring difference, anything that looks like maybe it's been damaged by anything?
No, it's where on those chamelashes, you know, they leaf so fast and they grow 6-8 inches as they get their leaves on.
Right.
There's little bundles of buds. I mean, it looks like hundreds and hundreds of buds getting ready to come out.
Okay.
But it's been weeks like that.
Okay. Nothing's changed in the area or the vicinity as far as how you're watering. Another tree wasn't removed that was way over on that side of the tree that might have been shading that a little bit, or
nope, it's
anything like that?
It's the only tree in the front yard. It's big old, it's 12 years old. It's probably 20 foot across and 20 some odd foot high. Been healthy for, it's been a beautiful tree. I'm kind of sad because it was such a good tree.
Well, I would probably, you know, it's been, I don't know how you're watering, what kind of situation the tree's in, but it's been really pretty darn dry. So I would probably take a hose over there, turn it on, let it run for hours and hours. You know, maybe all night. Go to bed. Leave it alone.
Jennifer does that when she's filling the pool.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Or the fountain. Yeah. It works either way.
Works either way.
We need to plant something beside the pool.
Works better if it's laying on the ground, just kind of soaking in. But that's the only thing I can think of is we have had a pretty dry late spring. We had a good start to winter and spring, but it's been pretty dry. Now it hasn't been terribly hot yet, and we need to get leaves on that tree before it gets hot, because then that's when we really get into trouble. If that tree sunburns because there's no protective canopy shading the bark and the young part of the tree. One thing you also might do is run out and get some Go Natural tree paint or some tree paint and get it at least on that side of the tree, on the main trunk and the major limbs. Keep any sunburn. If that bark, trunk, branches, sunburns, that's when the tree will really start to suffer.
And that Go Natural isn't a white paint.
Correct.
It's literally an invisible sealant.
And you could use white. That's fine, but a lot of people object to having, especially as a temporary kind of thing, this white coloring, which isn't very temporary, on their tree. So
I think it's been kind of I'm not the green thumb in the family, but I mean, just driving through the deserts and doing the hiking I'm doing, we're not having that massive bloom that we see. Some, it's kind of been kind of a drawn out, I want to call it kind of a frenetic spring.
I like that word.
It's like it wants to start and then it thinks about it and then it wants to start. And I mean, we've had, if my memory is correct, really the last 7 or 8 years, we've had 4 of those years were really nice, nice springs.
Well, when was it ever 78 degrees the Saturday before Mother's Day for the high?
Now, the dilemma is those same 4 or 5 nice springs. We really paid for it in July and August. You remember how hot? I mean, we set record heat last summer.
Especially in August when it was late and it was supposed to be, you know, by then it's usually, you know, the highs are down in the low 100s or starting to creep down. We had that, you know, 118, I think, in August.
Yeah.
And that's really hard on the plants. They're supposed to be recovering. They're starting to recover. I don't know that there's any correlation, but yes. Yeah, it seems like we stay cooler longer into May and June.
Is that just me?
And no, I think we could probably prove that.
Yeah.
But it sure feels like it. Because growing up, I mean, we were in the cut flower delivery business for many years, delivering flowers on Mother's Day in high school and early part of my college. It was always 100 or 105 on Mother's Day. Yeah. You're trying to deliver these bouquets and keep them from wilting and that sort of thing.
We'll have to do a little search on it, because my heart kind of tells me that's what we're experiencing. And yet,
it used to. My birthday is in late September. By the time my birthday rolled around, it was the nights were cooling off, and that doesn't happen until the middle of October anymore. So.
Right.
Well, Julie, again, we're talking about the Arizona Farm Bureau. We're talking about the Med diet. I like the fact that it includes dairy.
Yes.
And I can take that dairy in any form. I don't have to drink it in milk, right?
You can. There's a lot of cheeses.
Oh, I love cheese.
And yogurt. Yogurt's really getting popular, has been popular, Greek yogurt.
And I told you if I ever found a dairy that would provide me raw, whole buttermilk, I would sing it from the mountaintops.
From the mountaintops.
And well, I found
we're still
one.
Looking. Oh, you did?
Sings Farms.
There you go.
Sells. It's buttermilk so thick you almost need a spoon. I crave it. It is absolutely delicious. If you want the best biscuit on the planet, cook yourself a Sunday morning batch of biscuits with Sings buttermilk.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yum, yum, yum.
So the Mediterranean diet is going to include a lot of olives. It's going to include a lot of cheese. I'm good with all that.
Fruits and vegetables. And you know, we always think of the Mediterranean diet coming off of the, you know, along seashores and stuff like that. And everybody's always surprised that we can say that here in Arizona. And I always just remind them, all you have to do is add water. And that's what our farmers and ranchers do. And that's why we can have such a variety of produce and why our ranchers are growing such wonderful beef and, you know, all sorts of things that we're doing. The other thing that I think is fascinating, and there's a location up north and also near Yuma where we have aquaculture, and we're doing a lot of tilapia. In fact, years ago, the University of Arizona on the Big Mac or Maricopa Agricultural Center in Maricopa did a lot of experimentation with the tilapia, and we've just discovered it's a good fish to grow here in Arizona. Now, how they're scaling that and what's the potential future of that, I'm not quite sure yet. But it's interesting that we can even have aquaculture here in Arizona.
You may be too young to remember this, and I may be crazy. John, I may need to lean on you a little bit. But down between Maricopa and Stanfield and Casa Grande, there used to be concrete ponds down there. That was shrimp, wasn't it? Weren't we raising shrimp?
There was a shrimp grower, I guess you call shrimp farm, and I think there's still some signs in places down there. I swear I saw them not too awful long ago. I don't think it's there anymore, but there was also a tilapia production
in that same area,
somewhere in that same area, and I'm not sure what has, if anything has or hasn't happened to that. But the one thing about tilapia is they like really warm water.
We got that.
And we have that. And that's usually a detriment to some fishes. But they do really well in warm, even brackish kind of water, I think.
We actually no longer do have our shrimp farmer, but it's fun to
Do you
to
remember
highlight.
That?
Yeah,
am I insane? He was really down there, wasn't he?
He was. And we would feature it on Fill Your Plate because that was an option for people to consider. And it was a very big, plump, nice-sized shrimp. So it's kind of a bummer that he's no longer doing that, but...
Okay.
We still have our tilapia.
Yeah, I had a good tilapia just this last week with lunch with Dale Masetic. Let's go to Audrey, who has a question about jasmine and gardening plants, and Debbie wants to talk about artichoke plants in Wickenburg. Now, artichokes will be a part of the Mediterranean diet, right?
They would. Now, you got to be careful of the butter and the mayonnaise you add
to it. No, you don't. No, you don't.
And the breadcrumbs. And all that.
Breadcrumbs.
I did. I'm going to share a great new way I had artichokes when we get to Debbie's question. It was delicious. But John Jay, right now we have Audrey. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning.
How can we help you, dear?
Well, you know, I'm really new to this area. I'm from
Welcome.
The Northwest.
Welcome.
And I'm a blind gardener, so I plant on my terrace things for scent.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some, you know, just some flashy color flowers out front to make the sighted folks feel good. But I want to know, I was given a beautiful gardenia. last year, and it's now blooming. I also have it's called an Arabian jasmine.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I did hear the things about, you know, fertilizing and watering regularly, right? Well, about 6 months ago, I bought some liquid Miracle-Gro. Okay. I did not realize when I bought it was such a good sale that it was one you use in a huge garden sprayer. And well, since I have to water by hand, I have no idea how much to put in a gallon of water.
Uh-huh.
Also, my Arabian jasmine is not blooming. When does that bloom?
Just starting. They bloom in the warm weather, so they're going to bloom more from now all through summer and into fall, where the gardenias are just kind of a one-shot deal now. That Miracle-Gro, I think, is probably a teaspoon or a tablespoon per gallon of water.
Okay.
You know, if you went somewhere about that, you should be okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And does lavender and lemon verbena grow very well here?
They both will, yes. Lemon verbena. Pineapple sage is another one you can grow here. You might like that, of course.
Oh, I've grown that before.
Yeah. Good old basil, you know, and mints, and a lot of those wonderful scents you could have on your patio in pots, and they do very well.
Oh, great, because I face the east. So I was just wondering, trying to do some research while going to school, and it's like, oh.
Well, east facing's good. They get afternoon shade, so you got a lot more options that way. So a lot of great scents. Curry is a pretty good one that does well here, too.
That sounds like a great patio to spend some time on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Miss Audrey.